number 163. Been a while, so I have to say this. And the Ohio State Buckeyes are your national champions.
We knew it was going to happen.
I've called it since August 24th, Tim. August 24th.
Congrats to you, Stan.
Cashed.
Listen, if it wasn't going to be Oregon, I'm glad it was the team we lost to, so.
It's not about the money. It's about being right. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened with my Ohio State future. It's about being right. And goddamn, I am very proud that I am right. Ohio State's your national champion. We will recap the game, all that fun stuff. Super Bowl is set. Eagles, Chiefs, Eagles take down the Commanders. Chiefs take down the Bills. We recap those games. The Jets already made a reel for it, but we now get to talk about it in full. They hire Aaron Glenn, former defensive coordinator of the Lions. They also hire Darren Mooji, the assistant GM for the Denver Broncos. A lot of things going on in the coaching carousel, a lot of hires. We will recap all those. Perhaps one of the bigger trades to happen in NHL history, a bomb. There was no rumor of it whatsoever.
Out of the blue.
Mikko Rantanen traded to the Carolina Hurricanes for Marty Nečas and Jack Drury. Taylor Hall, also a part of the deal, former MVP. We will recap that. Tim, your Islanders are winners of 5 in a row.
You got to get hot at the right time, Stan. They're heating up.
5 in a row for the New York Islanders. We'll recap their win streak. Rangers lose a couple heartbreakers.
They're playing well, though. You can't hate it.
They are. But...
And we beat Colorado and Carolina for you, too. I thought maybe they'd be a little banged up from those matchups. Like, you know, what are you going to do?
I know. Talk some more hockey, Four Nations face-off. And then baseball. Pete Alonso talks of stalled.
I'm hearing good things, Stan, for the Mets.
You're hearing good things, though?
I heard Lindor went to the front office, said, I want you to keep him, and then apparently...
Well, you know it's not good when your star players are going to your front office, because the stuff that I heard about Aaron Judge, caramba.
I don't know.
Not good.
I'm hearing the Stevens groups re-up and talk stuff, so you can't...
At least your owner's not crying poor and saying...
I think the moves we made really make up for our offense last year. I think we have a better offense this year. I'm sure 38-year-old Paul Goldschmidt really fills that void for you. We'll see. I don't mean to hate, but what kind of comment is that?
Steinbrenner kind of said, and we'll dive more into this later on, but he basically said that he was just so embarrassed from Game 5 that defense was just a priority. So now you have a former Gold Glover and Bellinger.
That's what it was. It wasn't
good. Former Gold Glover and Paul Goldschmidt.
$800 million wasn't that. That wasn't their. They offered him $700 million. I don't know what you can't make. You're just digging yourself a hole here.
They went out of their comfort zone.
And it didn't work out. I'm not even saying because the Mets signed him. I'm just saying if anyone signed him and you, it is a known fact that you offered him $700 million and now you're saying that you didn't get him. Oh, we didn't even want him. It's like,
and
what are you doing?
Now you're crying poor.
Yeah. They're like the third most valuable franchise in all the four in the North American sports. Like, what do we
think? It's Knicks, Cowboys, Rangers, or not Knicks,
Yankees.
Cowboys, Yankees.
What are we doing?
We'll see. We'll talk about Aaron Judge. I had to do it. It was right in front of me. All right, let's start off NFC Championship game. Eagles 55, Commanders 23.
Yeesh.
The Philadelphia Eagles are back in the Super Bowl, second time in 3 years. What do we think? What do we think of the game? This was definitely, I'm not so surprised.
No. Experience kills. They're a deep team. I mean, they just, Saquon had a great game. They have all the intangibles to be a Super Bowl winning. I mean, on paper and on
they
the
do.
Football field, they really are that
they
good.
Do.
So
also, I'm just finding, I just found out on Sunday, Tim, I don't know if you know this. Or if you knew this at all, I didn't know Saquon Barkley was a Giant. Like, how?
I would have never guessed it, Steph.
I never knew that. I never knew that at all. If you can read the sarcasm, it's just been the common theme all year.
Every fucking game.
Saquon Barkley breathes. How could the Giants do this? Every fucking game. And it's like all the people. Like, Ryan Clark was, like, going off. It was like, Joe Shane should be ashamed of himself and, like, all this. I'm like, dude, if Saquon Barkley was on this Giants team, it's 6 wins all over again.
Yeah, it's the same thing. But also, it's, like, it's funny because you had the background video of, like, Shane's son being like, hey, go get Jane Daniels. You only have this chance once. Like, why not? Like, you got to bring back Saquon. And then ownership saying he's going to be sick if he goes to the Eagles. And
losing sleep. Losing sleep.
And look at what happens.
Saquon goes off again. That first play of the game was, that was just fucking,
it was over from the start.
It was soul crushing. I was sort of, I was just watching this game as a hater because,
well,
you know,
clearly,
clearly, no shit. Like, honestly, I was fucking miserable all Sunday. Like, I was just like so miserable seeing the shit that Saquon did. Saquon Barkley, 118 yards and 3 touchdowns on 15 rushes. That first touchdown, I was like, oh my God. Like, as soon as he broke free, or no, not even. As soon as he, like, got past the offensive line, he's gone. Like, he's gone. Like, from 6 years of watching Saquon Barkley play football, I just knew. Like, he's gone.
I mean, the way he runs is just, what do you expect?
I mean, anyone can do that with that offensive line. Look
God.
Look at Will Shipley. Will Shipley ran for 50 yards. How dare Clemson not bring him back? How dare they? Like, that's basically what's happening with the Giants. I just think it's hysterical. Shout out Frankie Luvu. Introduced a rule that I did not know existed. Turns out the refs can just award a score anytime that they want.
It's, you know what? It's funny. I actually, I watched a
palpably unfair, act.
I watched, this is like, I want to say months ago, and it makes, I don't even know, this YouTube video came out forever ago, but it's one of those like NFL rulebook videos.
That, like, you didn't know existed.
You didn't know, and they're talking about this rule, how the refs can just award points.
And just give you points.
If they find an act unfair, which I think is hilarious.
Who gets credit for that score?
I don't know. I think it may be the last person who touches the football.
Like, yeah, like, who gets credit for that?
Is it like
for
hockey?
Scoring?
Where, like, if I,
yeah,
if I,
like,
hit
the last guy,
if,
that touches,
if I touch the puck and the other guy,
but
puts
also,
it in the net.
It wasn't like they were, like, purposely going off sides. Like, they are, like, Jalen Hurts is actively doing the hard count.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess two times it's like, all right. And I guess they were going to put that rule into play if he, like, purposely jumped over the third time. But, Hurts kind of, you know, let him on, and then it happened. So then it's kind of like, all right, like, you did. So,
yeah.
So they warned him. But still, the more you know. But I honestly, like, I was fully prepared for the Bills Chiefs game just to have that palpably unfair act.
Yep. It pretty much did, Stan.
We'll see.
And thank God it did, because I could not stand seeing the Bills in the Super Bowl. I really can't. I can't live with that. So
yeah, I mean, I was rooting for the Bills. But before we get to that game, what's next for Washington here?
Uh-oh. Nothing.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. Funny how we mentioned this. Ari Mayrov, My Sports Update. New segment with the what is he saying? Someone did fan-submitted questions first podcast with Xavier McKinney, and one of them was, you put Saquon and yourself back on the Giants, how many more games do you win?
One.
One. Exactly.
What's next for the Commanders?
Here's the thing.
Bolster up the defense.
Bolster up that you have a shit ton of money, too.
I know.
You have, like,
and they have all the tools.
They have all the tools. But is this sort of, are they going to go into next year, like, being the team? Because I know there's going to be a lot of people that are probably going to take the Commanders to win the division, if I'm being honest.
Maybe. I feel
especially with the NFC East trend, that there hasn't been a repeat winner since, like, what? Like, 2004?
Yeah,
There hasn't been that. And then, you know, the Cowboys don't look good, especially with who they hired. We'll get into that as well. And then the Giants suck.
Well,
and then, who knows? The Eagles
think
maybe do for regression.
They have a great fighting chance. I think you got to take into account maybe a sophomore slump. This team reminds me, honestly, a lot of the Texans. So if they can make smarter moves in the offseason and not go for, like, I mean, obviously the Texans got injury ridden, but, you know, you don't really need to go get a Stephon Diggs. If you just bolster up that defense and Jane Daniels does what he does.
We'll see.
It's tough for
Eagles,
you. It's a complete opposite for me. I got one pile. You know what it is, Dan? It's the same as it was my whole life. I'm back to where it used to be.
We're not sniffing third place for another, like, 10 years. Third place.
Stan,
If you want my ballpark for first place, ask me in about 15 years.
Stan, I'm right back where I was when I was 1 year old. There's a powerhouse in my division that we're never going to beat. And
I also want to say, I hate the people that are like, oh, the Patriots never got the treatment that the Chiefs got. Stop.
I watched that my whole life. I watched that my entire life, Stan, and I hated every moment of it.
I know.
Was it a little less? I mean, was it a little less? Yeah, probably, because, you know, probably, it was harder football back then, but
come on. Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Chiefs, 32. Bills, 29. For the third straight year, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
Who would have guessed?
They're looking for the three-peat. The Chief Pete. Love Jackson Mahomes. Love Taylor Swift. We're doing this, baby. We're doing this.
I don't Chiefs even care who wins.
Kingdom, motherfucker. Chiefs fucking kingdom.
This is one this is one of those games, Stan, where I think America.
I don't even have the heart to root for them. I'm solely rooting for them just so the Eagles don't win. Sort of where I'm at.
I guess maybe as I'm a Jets fan, but I'm at a point right now where I just don't care. I don't care.
I kind of don't care either. Do you think it's time to stop complaining and just kind of just like appreciate what we're seeing? Because if you think about
it. I mean, we can complain all we want, but like, they still have to be good. And
yeah, they still, we have to stop and think here and realize to ourselves, Patrick Mahomes has the chance to do something that no other quarterback has ever done and win three straight Super Bowls.
And
everybody kept on talking about how difficult it was to win back-to-back Super Bowls. The fact that we might even have that there's even a possibility of a team winning three straight Super Bowls.
Yeah, and
my God.
And we talk about this all the time. I mean, you look at other guys, other quarterbacks, especially around the league, like guys like Josh Allen, guys like Lamar Jackson, all these top level guys. The separation from them to Pat Mahomes when it matters is a lot steeper than people. I mean, he just does everything right.
You see the record within the past 2 or 3 years. Regular season and playoffs is a complete 180. Mahomes is winless against the Bills in the past 3 years. And then Patrick Mahomes went undefeated in the postseason against the Bills within the past 3 years. So really, I know it's annoying with the calls that they get and all that, but if we're being honest here, I think it's time to just appreciate greatness. I just think it's time to appreciate greatness here.
I think it's been time, dude. It's been time. And it's annoying. And it's the same thing that I had to deal with as a Jets fan with Brady, and I hate Brady. I hate him. But you know what? I can at least sit here and admit, like, he's a hell of a fucking quarterback, which is a pain in the ass playing against.
And the greatest of all time, Tim. Come on.
It's never going to come out of my mouth, but I'm just saying he's a hell of a quarterback.
Come on.
And I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to sit here and say that, but he's a hell of a... Stan, it's like, all right, listen, here's a perfect example of that. Imagine Tom Brady was an Eagle, and now you're sitting here doing that.
Okay. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Fuck. All right. Will Josh Allen ever win the big one? Like, this has sort of turned into, like, this isn't even Brady Manning anymore, because Manning won some.
He just wins. I think, I don't even know. I mean, I haven't seen anything like this dominance in, I guess, since the Patriots, but even then, it's like, Jesus Christ, these guys just don't lose.
The only way that I could even see Josh Allen in a Super Bowl is if we see what happened with Brady after the undefeated season when he tore his ACL. Like, I'm not saying I'm not praying for
but I know what you're saying here,
but like, from what it is right now, I feel like the only time that we'll ever see Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow in a Super Bowl in the next 5 years is if Mahomes is hurt long term.
Yeah, and
that's sort of where it at.
And I think I think it's funny too, because I mean, like, you look at Brady, what Brady did, he took pay cuts so they can make the team around him better. Like, Mahomes straight up goes, "Give me the bag, I got this." And look at that. I mean, it's unbelievable.
$500 million.
And it's unbelievable. He's just like, "Fuck, we don't need anyone else. Like, I got this."
Yeah. It's really absurd. Another one that I'm thinking of right now, Kelce, is this it, you think?
If they win,
he does not look good.
He doesn't. I mean, it's the same kind of thing we saw with Gronk towards the end. Like, it just beat up a lot of receptions. I think, listen, they win the Super Bowl this year. You know, maybe he comes back next year, like, and sort of like, I don't want to say, like, you know, playoff only type role, but you know how I'm gonna compare this to if he comes back next year? Mark Stone. That's exactly who he might be, like a Mark Stone. And I hate Mark Stone. I mean, like, it's hard to like Mark Stone if you're a hockey fan. He doesn't play. He doesn't play.
Someone said on Twitter, it's like, I have the script. Chiefs win. Travis Kelce proposes to Taylor Swift on the
retires.
Stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's or the Eagles win and I get a crazy quote from Jalen Hurts. So either way, it's just, we're speaking in quotes here.
That is true. If we're speaking in quotes, you're speaking in quotes with both Sirianni and Hurts, if I'm being honest.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's no worse. What was it? You don't lose. You just either win or learn.
Yeah. Shut up.
Maybe he learned.
Stop. So we're not going to give Super Bowl predictions now. That's till next week. And we're going to have our big Super Bowl thing.
We'll go through it all.
Props, all that jazz. I'm telling you, I'm still going with my thank God Super Bowl speech. MVP speech.
I'm always big on the non-quarterback throwing to a touchdown.
That's it.
I'm big on that in the first half. I bring this up.
Happened last year.
We'll go way even further back. I mean, it was like it happened. No, I mean, the Bengals game. Bengals Rams when they were in the Super Bowl. It was Joe Mixon to T. Higgins. So
yes,
it happens
a lot. You're right. Yeah, so no Super Bowl predictions today, next week, yes. Let's go to the coaching carousel. The Jets have hired Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn and also have hired Broncos assistant GM Darren Mooji.
All those fucking interviews to go with the guy everyone said they were going to get. So
yeah,
I don't...
I love
the energy. His press conference was great.
And now this is my worry with carousel season in the NFL, because I feel like a lot of people get way too ahead of themselves and think, like, and we're going to talk about Liam Cohen with that press conference. Everyone looked at Dan Campbell at his introductory press conference and was like, this guy's not going to last a whole fucking season.
And look at him now.
Everybody thought Nick Sirianni was an idiot. He still is an idiot in my eyes, but regardless, he's been to two Super Bowls.
I could get that fucking team to a Super Bowl. I can give him a Madden playbook and just be like, here you go.
I will never forget what Sirianni said. He was like, you know, we're gonna adapt to a system, and it's gonna be a system that is easy for the offenses to understand, but difficult for the defenses to read. Like, it was so stupid.
Oh, so you're making an offense that pretty much everyone else in the league is trying to accomplish,
making it for
the defense to read. But and you know what? And we're gonna come back to the Chiefs here real quick. They are doing a very, very, very good job with disguising plays. They used a lot of RPOs in that game, a lot of short passes with little other options. Those two man options it's what killed the Bills. And in the first half, it killed them.
Yeah. So was this a good hire? Like, would you call this a good hire
for the Jets?
Because I've seen a lot of mixed reactions. Because I actually haven't gotten your reaction, because you know you were on your deathbed when this hire happened.
It wasn't feeling great, but
yeah. So I've heard from Lions fans that I know through the grapevine, like, there's nothing that Aaron Glenn loves more than running a cover zero blitz. So basically, they just hired Greg Williams.
Well,
that's number one.
I've
heard Jet fans that are like, I've just like run out of hope, where I'm just like, all right, whatever. And then I've heard Jet fans that are just like, this is a horrible hire, this isn't gonna work.
I'm at the point where we have no idea what he is as a head coach. I mean, in his interview he did say he was gonna go look get his own offensive defensive coordinator, and he's gonna do what he does as a head coach, but he's not gonna be calling the plays on offense or defense. So it's gonna be solely on what, you know, I guess the coordinator in the group. I think, listen, you needed to bring some sort of fiery attitude. You know, head coach Ulbrich, bless his heart, he's a hell of a defense coordinator. Yeah. Horrible head coach. He admitted that.
Yeah, he admitted it, and he got a nice job in Atlanta. He's now the defensive coordinator for the Falcons. So
perfect.
I think that he's going to be fine.
He's going to be just fine. And he admitted that too. He didn't do a best job as he could as a head coach, and I think there was too much responsibility at the time for him to take it on. So it's unfortunate, but we've been around. I mean, how many bad coaches have the Jets had? Adam Gase. Todd Bowles wasn't even good. He wasn't even good. And then
he's being carried by
an offensive coordinator. And then I get it. Again, right now, Salah, great defensive coordinator, not a great head coach.
We're
going to continue this until we find the right one, sure. And
I mentioned this in the Instagram reel. Like, Jet fans were saying, like, we've hired great defensive coordinators before as head coaches, and look how it turned out.
Who else do you want to get? Vrabel was never coming here. He was always a Patriot.
Never,
I mean, you want to go out and get Mike McCarthy? It's just there's I don't want to say there's limited options, but I think the right choice was to bring in someone who, has that Jets culture already in them, especially when the Jets were pretty. I mean, he played on the Jets when they were not as bad as they fucking are now. So I think you bring someone who has that attitude, who was a Jet, who wants to make the Jets great again. I think that was the big thing about Rex Ryan, too, is Rex Ryan was big as, I'm a New York Jet. I'm a New York Jet at heart. I'm going to be a New York Jet till I die. Like, that was his selling point. And I think you get that in Glenn, who's also been defensive coordinator for a team whose, I guess their defense wasn't terrible, but they had last two, 3 years? They were top two defense in the league when healthy. So does pretty good as a defensive coordinator. I think he's going to be a pretty good head coach. So I'm happy with it. I can't complain.
I think it's a, like, I have to see it to believe it, and
that's what I'm saying. Like,
what I said on the Instagram reel.
We haven't seen anything yet, right? Yeah, so we don't know.
So I can't really react to it, but I will say
the attitude I love.
The attitude, it's a good attitude. He also understands what it's like to be a part of this organization because he's played for the organization and was a part of the big turnaround that happened for the Jets in the 90s.
Exactly. And
so if he can lead this quote unquote turnaround that could possibly happen.
Exactly. And I think they needed to bring it from, I don't want to say familiar face to the organization,
you win 8 games next year, I call it a win.
So do I. And I don't, you know, he's open to bringing Rodgers back. He even admittedly said it wasn't a Rodgers problem. It was a you know, full roster problem, which is true. It was also a bit of a Rodgers problem, but, you know, we don't have to get into that rabbit hole again. I think, listen, they got to make some overhaul in the offseason. We'll see what they do with all their star players. I think, you know, Sauce Gardner said he wants to be a Jet, so that's an immediate lockup. I don't know about Garrett Wilson yet. Yeah. We're going to have to find out. Yeah. I don't know what Devontae Adams' future is going to be, so it's going to be an interesting offseason. I hope they get the right pieces. I hope they draft well. We'll see. I mean, finally got a new GM, so we got options here.
Yeah. Let's go to the other hires around the league. Let's just start with the funny one. The Cowboys have hired Brian Schottenheimer as their head coach. Brian Schottenheimer, for those who don't know, and I'm going to give you, I believe I have mentioned his name on this podcast before. This is...
Dude, how cheap can one of the most richest, like the richest owner... Just
get ready, get ready. 2001, he was the quarterback's coach with the Washington, formerly the Washington Redskins, now the Washington Commanders, 28th ranked offense. Quarterback's coach for the San Diego Chargers from 2002 to 2005, the only years of Drew Brees' career where he did not look like a Hall of Fame level quarterback. New York Jets offensive coordinator 2006 to 2011, wasted some of the NFL's best defenses with Mark Sanchez at quarterback.
Yep.
St. Louis Rams offensive coordinator 2012 to 2014, 25th and 21st in 2 years and in the other 2 years in offense. Offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at the University of Georgia, 85th in offense, got Mark Reich fired, then they bring in Kirby Smart, and then the rest is history there. Indianapolis Colts quarterbacks coach, 2016 to 2017, 30th in offense in 2017. Offensive coordinator for the Seahawks from 2018 to 2020. Remember his big thing? Let Russ cook? Russ did not cook. And then he was the passing game coordinator and quarterbacks coach for the Jaguars in 2021. He was 32nd in offense with Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. Granted, there was widespread dysfunction with Urban Meyer, but still.
There's more to that. But, yeah, I mean, the rest of it speaks for itself.
And then we all saw what he's done with the Cowboys. And that warranted him for a head coach. I just love the backhanded compliments that Jerry Jones has been giving Schottenheimer from the moment that they hired him. Like, the opening
statement.
He's
probably mad at himself.
The opening statement was, Brian Schottenheimer is known as a career assistant. That is the first sentence. So basically he's saying, like, all right, I fucked up on this one. And to be honest, let's all be honest here. If he waited maybe 2 more weeks, Kellen Moore would 100% get the job. But he was just too impatient, so we just hired Schottenheimer.
Well, because he doesn't want to get fucking blown up for what he did last year.
Yeah, but honestly, if they hired Moore, it would be fine.
Obviously, I'm not denying that.
It would
be
a good decision to make.
Jerry Jones is a media head. I mean, he cares what the media thinks of him so much that he's willing to do stupid moves.
I just cannot believe what they've done. Like, what happened here? When did this go wrong?
We're going to have to see next year.
I love it, but like,
when was it right, though? I mean, it really...
When did the switch flip for Jerry to be like, oh, fuck? You gotta go Schottenheimer.
Well, when they haven't won a playoff game in like fucking 50 years, it feels like.
They hired him because he was cheap. He was cheap. Let's all be honest here. Kellen Moore was going to warrant a lot of money because of what he's doing with the Eagles and Saquon Barkley right now. So I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't get it.
It's the way of the Cowboys.
I don't get it. Other coaching news, the Bears. This is the big one. Honestly, I feel like this is the biggest one of them all because I feel like with the Bears, they always hired the guy that, like, no one knew who they were. That's what they did with Eberflus a couple years ago. They did it with someone else, too. I'm forgetting what his name was. But they seriously made the right hire. I feel like Ryan Poles finally got it right. They hired Ben Johnson. Are the Bears back?
again,
you say this every year.
You're going to have to find out. I mean, I didn't expect the Vikings to be so good this year, so the division's not as easy as we thought.
Now, the staff is a big... They do bring in Dennis Allen as their defensive coordinator. Now, my thing with Dennis Allen, and I feel like everyone knows this, we all saw what happened in New Orleans. That was a disaster. They fired him mid-season. Something leads me to believe that this is going to be a good fit.
You hope? I mean, if you're a
because,
Bears fan, you hope.
Number one, he's not making the important decisions. that's a start. That's a start. But honestly, with the it's almost like the Jets hiring Aaron Glenn. I just have to see it to believe it.
That's where I'm at. I mean, with a lot of these guys, it's like, I don't know how the fit's going to be.
Especially with the way that the Lions went out. That's where I'm like, because if the Lions were still playing right now, it'd be like, okay, like, yeah, they're like, there's going to be results. But just like with the way that they went out, Goff didn't look that good. So I don't know.
But you know what?
And
they
I
were dealing
I'm
with
judging,
a ton of injuries. Yeah, they had a great year.
I know I'm judging off of one playoff game, but I don't know. I don't know. I have to see the success to believe it. The Raiders, this one was a shocker, but I like it. They hired Pete Carroll. I feel like with this one, because, you know, Pete Carroll's 71 years old, because right now it is...
They got Lou on the field.
Yeah, really. Right now, it feels like it's rock bottom in Vegas right now. Like, it can't get worse.
You know, it literally cannot get any worse than
what it's been. It can't get worse. I feel like this hire is going to be like, he's going to be there for like 2 or 3 years.
Sort of
max.
Set a foundation and then bring a new
set
guy.
Set a foundation, set a culture, and then they're going to let him ride off and retire. And then it's going to be a job that people desire.
At this point, he's just doing it for the love of football because he doesn't need to fucking
do
this.
I didn't know this. I was listening to Ryan Russillo's podcast with Diana Russini talking basically about the carousel and everything. I did not know that. Like, I knew Brady like owned the team and like, you know, he was part owner.
Is he calling the shots?
I did not. He's calling shots.
They just like, they're like, fuck it, Brady, what do you think?
Diana Russini basically said, like, we have to wait. Basically said, like, people in, like, the organization were, like, waiting for what Brady's ideas were, and then they went. So Tom Brady has more leverage in Vegas than people think, which is insane to me. But
well, I mean,
like this hire.
It's Brady.
it's a good hire to make after losing out on Ben Johnson, because it felt like Brady really wanted Ben Johnson, and then he goes to the Bears. Possible reunion in Vegas? Do we see a Russell Wilson signing in Vegas if the Steelers go with Justin Fields?
I don't even know what the Steelers are going to do. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Him and Pete Carroll seem to have a great relationship. The falling out was whatever. But we'll see. We'll see what the Raiders do. They're in such limbo, dude. Like, I don't even know what the direction they should be going in is. I really don't. I don't know what their plan is. They have so many holes they need to fill. It's kind of ridiculous, but we'll see.
Yeah. Sorry, I just got a text. And then the last hire, the Jaguars hire Liam Cohen. And this has been the main story. It's been drama from the start. It's just been insane drama from the start.
Hold his name out, fire the GM, throws his name back.
Yeah. Pulled his name out of the job due to the lack of franchise structure. Everybody knew that Balky was just not a good GM. Even Shad Khan was basically like, all right.
Instead of
the head coach,
Zoom call, yeah.
Yeah. Khan was basically saying, like, if we bring back, like, whoever we hire and, like, you know, they don't like the way that the franchise is going, like, we'll just fire Trent.
Crazy.
Which, hey, John Mara, it's never too late. It's never too late. But pulled out of the job, the Jags then fire Balky, Cohen puts his name back into contention, and then he's hired not even a full 24 hours later. So...
It seemed pretty obvious now that he hated the GM, the head coach. I mean, the ownership fell in love with the head coaching. They were like, we have to make a decision here. And you know what? I don't blame them. The Jaguars have been awful. They should be so much better than they are, and they're not.
Oh,
so
they've been god awful. But here's my thing. And now the press conference. I feel for the guy. I really do. I really feel bad for the guy. Just because, like, I've seen, like, the videos of him, like, you know, dapping, and, like, it seems like the players, like, especially on offense, Brian Thomas was smiling from ear to ear when he was meeting Liam Cohen. Like, it seems like players want to play for this guy. He seems like this offensive genius, and people are going to love him. But people are, like, giving him shit just because of him saying Duval with that, like, weird look on his face. And this is what I mean. the press conference is a first impression, but it means fucking nothing.
Nothing.
It means absolutely nothing. I mentioned Dan Campbell's press conference. I mentioned Sirianni's press conference.
Like Salah's first press conference. I thought he was going to be a great energy guy for the locker room.
I liked Joe Judge's press conference.
There you go.
Loved it.
There we go.
I loved
it. These are great points. Even Adam Gase had a decent press conference.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Sucked. The fucking eyes going from ear to ear. It seems like this guy, like... This guy has support from the players all over the organization.
That's what you need, though. Who cares about the media? If you could drown out media noise,
also,
then drown out media noise.
Also, if you're Tampa, you're kind of worried. Because now, who are you going to hit? It's very rare that you hit on an offensive coordinator 1 year. It's also very rare that you hit on another offensive coordinator the next.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who the offensive coordinator is going to be next year? You got to hope and pray.
They outperformed this year, so.
Yeah, they did outperform. I mean, they outperformed last year and went to the divisional round. This year, a little bit different, but
we'll see.
Interesting times around the league. Next up, let's talk about the national championship. The Buckeyes of Ohio State, national champions.
You called it.
Bow down to the king.
All right, relax.
Remember when I said I was going to go down. One? I hit one. From that thread, I hit one.
Listen, if Oregon won that game, Stan, against Ohio State, my future would have been hit. So let's.
As soon as I saw that line at 2.5 on the road, I'm like, dude, they're gonna fucking pummel it.
All right, well, yeah, shut up.
All right,
Dylan Gabriel threw a ball like 76 miles an hour at the combine. So
if you're thinking, so if you're Ohio State, Ryan Day survives.
Unfortunately.
I mean, who cares? I did not.
Michigan
after
fans
that,
do. Michigan fans are so happy.
Yeah, Michigan. I mean, the second biggest winner of Ohio State winning this
Michigan.
Whole thing is Michigan.
They're still going to kick their ass.
They're still going to kick their ass. Absolutely. But he survives. He lives to see another day. He gets the national championship. It got scary.
He was sweating, dude, going into that game. He's like, my job's on the line.
My job. Honestly, I think if.
They lost that national championship, Stan. He was out for
I think if they won that, I think if they lost the national championship, he would have stayed. But I think
it would have been
especially,
close, dude.
Especially with how they beat Texas and that scoop and score late, like the goal line stand. Like it was, there was drama there. I feel like that a Sugar Bowl win or Cotton Bowl win kind of gave him the leverage there. But if you want to talk about a guy, like Will Howard was great. The running backs were great. Henderson and Judkins. Jeremiah Smith might be the best receiver in football, like the sport of football.
Yeah.
NFL, college, don't care. Jeremiah Smith could probably number one pick anywhere.
My thing right now is, though, I mean, we saw this about Marvin Harrison last year. He was decent this year, but
But the shit that he's doing as a freshman.
Obviously, I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree. I think, again, we got to wait for the transition because I thought Marvin Harrison was going to like lead the league in receiving yards this year.
I
don't want to put the expectation too high, but he's unbelievable.
He's insane. But for Ohio State, and I mentioned this back in August, and I also mentioned this back in October too, after the loss to Oregon. They got what they didn't. Here's a prime example. Ole Miss won, quote unquote, won the portal because they got the best players, but they didn't really fit their needs. Ohio State got the right guys to fill their needs. They got Judkins to pair with Travion Henderson. It was almost like a thunder and lightning type thing. They got Caleb Downs, the safety out of Alabama.
He's unbelievable.
Nick Saban retiring was probably
best thing that happened to him.
The best thing that ever happened to Ohio State, just because you get Caleb Downs, who was ridiculous this playoff. Absolutely ridiculous. But we do have to give our flowers to Notre Dame. Honestly,
fucking independent school. I don't give a... Join a conference, then argue with me.
Hey, but think about it from this perspective. They're independent. They get all the money. They get all the share. They get all the revenue.
It's annoying.
But, Tim, think about it. Like... Stan, think about it, though. Get all the money, especially in this era of
Stan,
NIL.
Obviously.
Come on.
From a business standpoint, great. From the rest of college football, suck my dick, dude. Join a conference and stop being a pussy.
But hey, you never know. I mean, it's Notre Dame. They could have all the money in the world.
I don't like
and
them.
That's the thing. And
I don't
the
like
thing
them.
Too.
I've said I don't
I know,
like them.
I know. I know you're like I'm sort. I kind of like bought back in.
I can't. Kinda, I can't. I never I bought in, and I can. I could never.
I kind of bought back in on Notre
I'm
Dame.
Talking
right
to relatives,
now.
Dude.
My relatives aren't even Notre Dame fans. Like
well, they went for that Penn State game, and you know it.
They were all. I honestly, I was rooting for Notre Dame over because I mean, I did put like $50 on Notre Dame to win, but
hedging that little hedge of the 50. Ohio State.
That was a lie to beat Penn State. Yes, but I was like, I can't have a Penn State Ohio State national championship because that would be not good for the family. But anyway, no. Yeah. But thank you, college football.
Yeah, we'll be back next
great
year.
Great year. We'll be back next year, but I can't wait. I'm very excited.
I hope it's only better,
especially with this 12-team playoff now.
Enough.
Like the fact that it took them until 2024
to expand it is insane.
To expand, like just to even have no, just to even have the idea of a home playoff game in the year 2024 is
crazy.
Insane. Kind of crazy, if you ask me. Yeah, but great year for college football. Week zero next, or week one technically, it's going to be a big one. You ready? Clemson, LSU, at Clemson, could be pretty exciting.
Be your game.
Kate Klubnik could win the Heisman. Who knows?
Yeah,
that's actually two Heisman candidate quarterbacks with Nussmeier, who's the favorite, and Klubnik, who's
could
the
could be a great game, could be a shit game. We don't know yet.
Could
so
be a shit game.
But
fuck Brian Kelly. I know who I'm betting on there. All right, let's go to hockey. Let's talk about the big one. Carolina Hurricanes acquire Mikko Rantanen and Taylor Hall, a part of a 3-team deal. The Avs sent or the Canes sent Jack Drury and Martin Nichas to the Avalanche. I think Chicago just got a third round pick.
Yeah, they needed
that third. Bedard, your team is part of that deal.
You know what though? If you're Chicago,
all you get is a third round pick. Come on.
I will say though, if you're Chicago, you're kind of kicking your feet in the air because the rumor around the league was that Taylor Hall's not even worth a fourth. So they just needed someone else in that deal to move out. So I mean, take what you can get. I mean, do what you can.
And we'll get to Taylor Hall, portion of the deal.
He got assist against the Rangers, unfortunately.
I'm just going to say it. Honestly, this is why I love hockey, because like any former MVP that you trade for, it like, even if you get half of what anyone, any former MVP,
yeah.
It's literally what happened with Patrick Kane when he went to the Rangers. Like, mm-hmm. If we just get like
half of what he's done,
winning MVPs and shit, like we're perfect. If you get, honestly, because it's Taylor Hall, if you even get less, maybe 40% of what Taylor Hall used to be.
Well, that's the thing. He needs to get back there. I think we're at a point now where it's, what is Taylor Hall? He's not the MVP he was back in the day. I mean, he had some good stints in Boston. He was a good second liner for them. He goes to Chicago. Kind of pretty bad. It hasn't been great for him over there. Now he goes to a much more well-rounded team with Carolina, where honestly, there's a lot of pressure off him because, you know, looking at the Chicago roster, that is your first line winger. Like,
yes,
No bueno there. But you send him to Carolina, he gets an assist against the Rangers. He skates well, so I mean, there you go. You take what
he
you
does.
Get.
Yeah. I said this to you before. I think the Colorado Avalanche won the trade.
I still think that, and I'll say why I still think that.
I think it'll help them out in the long run. I'm not saying
yes,
because
I agree with
it
you.
It all depends on the Rantanen contract.
Well, here's,
if Carolina's able to keep him, then I could be swayed otherwise.
Here's the thing for me. So they did a good job of understanding that the Rantanen talks allegedly weren't going anywhere. I mean, I heard from multiple, I mean, I'm hearing from multiple different things from multiple different people. From Rantanen's agent, from what I understand, is that he came out and said there wasn't really any contract negotiation talks. This was out of the blue. They weren't really informed. I heard Rantanen sort of say the same thing, and then I flip it, and I hear they were offering contracts to him that they weren't liking because of that McKinnon cap they have in place where the Avs are not going to offer anyone over 12.6 because that's McKinnon's contract. Why I like this for the Avalanche, Stan, is it postpones this re-signing period that they have for a whole other year. Martin Nichas has another year under his contract. So
the
thing for me is, if you weren't going to be able to keep Rantanen, you might as well trade him to get something back that you could possibly keep for cheaper, longer term. And the thing is, they're going to have to re-sign guys anyway. So you re-sign Rantanen this year, say the Avs do. They have to re-sign McCarr next year.
Yeah,
How much money can you really throw in there? And I think it just gives them, you know, more flexibility with the cap. Especially, like I said, it's going to go up to almost $100 million next year. So
yeah,
they can make moves.
I forgot to mention that the Rangers also made a move. We'll get to that.
Wilf Borgen?
Yeah, Wilf Borgen. It's 20 minutes. Yeah, you better pray that that fucking cap goes up. That's all
I'm
going to say.
Oh, yeah.
You better pray. Although, he's been good. Like, I'm not going to dunk on him, but, like, I can see where it can go wrong.
The thing with that signing for me is it honestly gives you more flexibility with trading Keandre Miller. So you sign a guy like Wilf Borgen, you can move Miller now. And you
Schneider,
know,
I've been hearing as well.
He's very coveted around the league. I don't think the Rangers want to get rid of him. That's kind of where I'm at. I think they don't want to
I don't know what to think of
it. It's a weird time for Ranger fans now because you were on a bit of a heater. Now you've lost two in a row, and you're backtracking a little bit to, like, where are we? And the Eastern Conference is so tight. I imagine.
And you're in a position where, like, if you sell, like,
then you're out.
Do we buy or do we sell?
And I think, and I'm going to be honest with you right now, Stan, I think in the minds of both New York teams is we're buying. I think they're both going to buy.
Really? I don't want to buy. Don't make me fucking believe in this core again.
I think you're going to buy.
I don't want to hear about this fucking core anymore. I don't want to hear about it.
But the same core of Long Island stuff was nine, dude. What do you think I'm...
I don't want to hear about the core anymore. God damn it.
I mean, we'll see.
Jesus.
It's going to be a very, very interesting trade deadline. Now, especially now that Rantanen's off the market. You got it. Now, Pedersen's the big guy that people are going to go after. JT Miller is a big guy people are going to go after.
I'll say it. JT Miller does not move me whatsoever.
I am hearing a lot of bad things, Stan. I'm hearing very much locker room troubles wherever he goes. I've heard the only good things I've heard about him, Stan, is when he was with the Rangers. So maybe it's a location thing. I don't know. We'll see. But that
fucking
could be interesting.
I'll see it when I believe it. Yeah, there it is. For the Canes, they finally get their score. I feel like this was always the issue with the Carolina Hurricanes. It's like, they're good. They have guys like Aho and Kotkaniemi and, you know, I'm blanking on Svechnikov. But they never have, like, a dominant score. And now they do. So my question to you, are the Carolina Hurricanes the team to beat in the East? In the East, not just the Metro, the East.
That's such a hard question.
Do the Canes finally get over the hump?
Oh, that's such a tough question because I'm gonna stick to this till the day I die, and I don't care what Jake says. I'm such a Washington hater. I don't think what they're doing is possibly feasible to continue throughout the season. I don't think what's his face in that Logan Thompson continues this insane streak he's on.
They just signed him. I know they extended him.
Which is a good signing for them.
He definitely just saw the money. It was like,
why not? I mean, dude, he just got traded. He's never even had a home. So he gets traded locked up long term, which is good. I mean, it's good for them. On paper, I still think you got to give it to Florida just because that's, you know, I don't even look at the standings, just more of like they're Florida. You know what you're getting with them. They're a well-rounded team. They won the cup last year, so it's hard to bet against them. It's the same way I would say, like, fans look at, like, the Cavs versus the Celtics. You know, like, you look at a Cleveland team, but you say you got to get through Boston because that's the champion. But other than that, yeah, on paper, dude, this team's loaded. And I know they did it last year with Gensel, and they get the rental. I get it. Is this going to be a rental? We'll have to find out. But this is probably the best goal-scoring option that they've had ever. And I think it just gives them that extra level that, geez, they're going to be a tough team to beat. I know the Islanders beat them, but they're going to be a tough team to beat.
They're going to be pretty difficult. I hate them. I hate the way they play hockey. Like, I hate everything about them.
How many times are going to see Islanders in the playoffs, Stan? Like, I can't.
They get a 100-point score now, and that's like, a fuck.
And, well, I want to reverse that question onto you, because you take a peek at the Western Conference. Colorado is, you know, they're still slated as a wild card team right now. Does this Martin Nature deal, does it backtrack them anymore? Or do you think the fit is well? Because the way he plays, he's very much pass-first guy.
I think, number one, I think Drury's a better fit than Nature's.
He scored against the Isles. I'll give him,
he scored against the Rangers, too.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, he's pretty damn good. I know Vancouver's sort of, they're in that second round.
They're struggling, though. They're struggling. The struggles they're having. I mean, think of last year, dude. They were locked into that one at this point.
Yeah, I look at a team that's red hot right now. And I know they're only third in the Central, but the Minnesota Wild. I know they lost Kaprizov for a bit, or they're losing him for a bit, but...
No, they got some guys. I know they won a little skid. Yeah, they won the last two. I think that whole... The problem with the Central is that you're looking at three monsters, or two monsters ahead of them.
Yeah, with Dallas and Winnipeg.
So it's like, what kind of gap can we even close on? Because they're on a two-game winning streak. You got Dallas on a three-game winning streak. The Pegger on a four-game winning streak.
Also, did you notice how, like, ESPN like never does like hype commercials for hockey games.
Never.
And then all of a sudden,
awesome.
The the best commercial. Honestly, if they're hyping up,
I love tipping this
fake rivalry. I don't even want to call it fake. I know they've met in the playoffs the past 2 years. This like so-called rivalry between Dallas and Vegas. I'm fine with it.
It's
just funny how like
it took them this long. Yeah, I know.
It took like two teams that played each other in the playoffs for the past like 2-3 years.
Yeah. Well, it's for me, dude. It's this way. The Western Conference is fucking loaded. I mean, if like you look at it top to bottom, they're unbelievable. I still think the East is better just playoff wise, but like. Let me just ask you this, because we're at, what, 50, about a little over,
yeah,
50 games played. Well, the average is probably around, like, 50, 51.
Yes.
Who is taking these two wildcard spots to finish the season?
In the West?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Colorado, they're 4 points behind Minnesota, they don't even have any games at hand, and then you look at Vancouver, who's actually on a 3-game winning streak right now, but still, they're going through their lulls. I don't think the team really is going to fit together well.
Yeah.
Does a team like Calgary, who's kind of had a decent year, a little under the radar from last year, like
this is bold of me, and I know like my hockey takes have been like hot. Like I know I had Utah going into the playoffs, but I mean anything's possible. Yeah. Anything's possible. I look at a team like St. Louis,
who could just steamroll it and get going again.
Just steamroll and like the Jim Montgomery hire.
Yep, I agree.
That was a big time hire, and then I feel like ever since that they've gotten him, like they've just been on the ground running, just fucking just winning games. I know they're out of the picture right now. They're 6 points behind the second wild card spot, but
yeah,
make some big moves at the deadline.
I think that line for really who gets in and who gets out cuts right now at that St. Louis spot. I don't even know if I keep Utah in there. I know what they are. It's just they're nothing crazy. Yeah. But I think Vancouver's going to really, if it comes down to this trade deadline and they start moving pieces, and then you get a guy like Quinn Hughes unhappy. And I think this Western Conference wildcard race, as tight as the East is, it's going to shake up a decent amount towards the end of the year.
It is.
But let me flip now. Let's go to the East.
Look at Columbus.
Well, yeah, now we go to the East. It's like, holy shit. Like, what's the game plan here? So I can read this out to you right now. It's because the Atlantic is just, well, who's taking that third spot in the Atlantic? Ottawa's is sitting there right now. They got two games in hand at Boston. I know Tampa's got one game in hand at them. But, dude, this race is insane. Insane. Pittsburgh's still in it. The only team who's out of it, unfortunately, is Buffalo. Like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news again, but...
Sorry, Mick.
Mickey, I'm sorry, dude. You know, sorry. He was blowing up my phone. Because they won last year. They put up 7 goals in the Boston. Blows up my phone. He's like, they're so back. And then underneath, he's like, they're not back, but two hat-tricks. He's like, two hat-tricks. I got to celebrate.
Two hat-tricks?
Paterka and Tage Thompson. They both had a hat-trick
Jesus
in that game against Boston.
Christ.
Yep. 7-2.
Hire me. I'll just say this. Hire me as general manager because I did a rebuild of the Buffalo Sabres in NHL 24 over the summer.
Stan, you can do a rebuild in pretty much any NHL with the Buffalo Sabres.
Never won a cup, but we got them there.
Take what you can get.
I think Buffalo fans could take that any fucking day of the week.
Take a fucking playoff appearance, Stan. They're the Jets of the NHL. I mean, this is brutal. This is going into, 13 years now if they don't make it.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable.
But let me ask you, I just want to, from a Rangers fan perspective.
Yes.
They're 50 games played, 52 points. They're 24, 22, and 4. Their goal differential is sitting at a -3 right now. They have pretty much identical, actually, they do have identical and home and away splits. They're on a 2-game losing streak.
That's the bona fide definition of mid.
Yeah, well.
that's kind of what it is.
And I'm thinking right now, Stan, you have a winning
record. They got to make a move that's got to move me. Like, that's kind of what it is.
Now, that's my question. What do you need? What is the answer for this team? Do you move Zibanejad? Because he's been off. He makes people around him worse.
I mean, you saw what Vincent... I mean, I'm not like...
What was that? Okay,
Trocheck.
We'll just go... Let's go over that.
He
what
does
the
it all
hell
the time.
Was
for
that?
For those who don't know...
And then
the
they
Rangers
turn around and score.
And you just like knew it was going in too.
That's just
like, it
makes
was...
an awful effort too. I don't understand. The dive and stack. Well, you got three guys in front of the net.
Just the effort the past two games, and it started with the turnover against Colorado, and then Panarin just like,
and it's a nail biter game.
Nonchalantly going down the ice, and it's a 3-on-1. Like, all right,
and you think they win that happens. You think they win that game. It's like,
yeah, like you go to overtime. You're like, fuck, I'm kind of in the situation that you were in last year, Tim, where it's like you go to overtime.
You need,
it's a win.
You need the points. You need, and
you need any point you can fuck.
Think about that right now. Imagine them sitting at 50 games played at 54 points. They would be 1 point
I'd
out
be
of
confident.
A wild. They'd be 1 point out of a wild card.
I'd
spot.
Be
and
confident.
That's why every game matters right now in the East. Everything matters. Like, Isles play Philly tonight. That's a 4 point game. They win. That's a 4 point win. Like you got to get the 4 point game wins.
I really can't tell you. Like, I don't know. But for those who don't know, Vincent Trocheck had a breakaway on shorthanded.
Dude, there's two guys behind him.
He does this all the time. He tries to do like some fancy behind the back, like no look pass. Shoot the puck.
And then
Zibanejad was the king of that too. I just don't understand.
And then they turn around and score, which is just the icing on the cake right there.
If one play can define the
season.
Ranger season.
It's so,
it's that
you're
play.
So close.
And honestly,
backtrack.
That play and then the 3-on-1 against Colorado.
Yeah. I
don't understand.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I mean, right.
I don't get it.
Right now, sitting points wise, I mean, the Isles, they're 51 points, 49 games. Rangers, 52 points, 50 games. They're sitting at the same points percentage. So we're essentially in the same spot right now. And it's just like, where do we go? Like, you know, can we both make that jump? Can we both? And it's the push to
depends
the end.
Depends on who we trade for. Yeah. It all comes. I feel like we'll get a clearer understanding after the deadline of who is trying. But
it feels like it's going to be JT Miller. No, like it feels like that's where they're going.
I hate to say it, but it is like that's kind of what I.
And I'm at a point now where I think Vancouver's willing, not willing, but I think they're getting dealt kind of like a tough hand here, where they got to blow everything up. And then and it's like,
I mean, they're in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, I know. And that's the crazy thing is everyone there is unhappy.
Yeah, that's insane. All right. Let's go to.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we're missed to mention. Let's just run through the Isles news real quick, just for anyone real quick.
It's Tony like, D.
A lot going on. So
Tony D. I'm shocked he's not wearing 47.
Oh, you can't. It's Lou's rule. You got to wear low numbers.
He needs to be put down. He needs to be put down immediately.
You gotta wear low numbers. Can't have a beard. You gotta wear low numbers. It's the Yankees of the NHL. Come
that
on.
Picture of him, like, standing behind the boards during a practice
menacing,
and looking.
Dude. He's menacing.
Looking so. Like,
they all say it, too. They're all like, listen, like, he's a scary motherfucker. Like, when you do contract negotiations with him, you just want it to be over with. Like, you don't even want to sit in there any longer. Like, he'd just look at you.
Man. Just,
he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. It's just like, he's still going. He's 90.
I know, but like.
No, I know.
You're not catching up to the games. The game as well caught up to you. You're not catching up to it, buddy.
I know. And he's made some nice moves. So we'll run. Let me run down the list real quick. So
but here's the thing: if you're you're dealing with a lot of injuries, pull on
Angelo's been
Nolan
great.
Dobson, Riley. I will say, is Elias Pettersson a possibility for the New York Islanders?
I'm hearing reports.
They have made trades with the Canucks before. Well, that's how you got Bo Horvat.
That's the big thing, Stan. Here's what I'm hearing. So apparently the relationship between Pettersson and Horvat is unbelievable. Those two love playing together. So what I'm hearing.
Shocks that Elias Pettersson and Elias Pettersson do not have a great relationship.
Yeah, I figured that both those two would be great on a line together.
But for those who don't know, there's two guys in the Canucks named Elias Pettersson.
There's two Sebastian Ajos in the league. There's so many of these guys. But I'm hearing good things. I mean, from what I'm hearing is the asking price from originally what it was is, people don't know, is they wanted a Jack Eichel return. So what that looked like from the trade from Vegas was Krebs, Tuck, a future first, a future second, and then possibly a future third. But now,
stop.
It's a lot. It's a lot, obviously.
You're not getting that for Elias Pettersson. Jack Eichel, yes. He's one of the best players in the sport.
Pettersson, no. So, but here's where I'm at. What I'm hearing now is that because of the woes and how unhappy everyone seems to be, they're sort of not rushing this, but pushing it out more where it's cheaper than it usually should be. And we've had great history of making trades with the Canucks. I mean, this Bo Horvat deal, I'm not saying it didn't work out for both sides. It worked out for us a lot. I mean, we gave up Beauvillier and Atu Rati, and neither of them are on their team anymore. So, I don't know. I think Lou has something in place. We'll see. That could be a big push, especially going. And you know what? All this matters, Stan. Is what it looks like going into the All-Star break and into this Four Nations break. If
you want to go into the Four Nations break on a high.
If you're like, that'll
especially if you're the Rangers and the Islanders, you want to go into the break on a high.
If they go on a little bit of a run here, both teams say they win a few games in a row. Now you're closing out this streak at what, three straight? Well, you win the last three. And now you're looking at a completely different look because of how tight this race is. Drury makes some calls. Lou makes some calls. And now we're thinking, oh, are we going to get this guy? We're going to get this guy instead of, are we going to move Zibanejad? Are we going to move Nelson?
I just realized the Rangers don't play until Saturday.
Yeah,
it's on national television.
They're all, I know.
What a day for me on Saturday.
I saw
what a day for me.
Dude, I literally, you know.
Rangers at 3:30. Duke UNC at 6:30. Knicks Lakers at 8:30.
Jeez Louise. You know what's funny? I have the Rangers schedule on the NHL app too. That's, you know, how much I don't like them is that I literally sit and I look at their rankings every day.
I
wake up and look that up.
I have met updates on my phone. I've had met updates on my phone for like.
Oh, no. Yeah. But I'm saying for
score updates,
the NHL app, like I follow the Rangers, so it's like up at the top,
so
I know, like I'm like, oh,
so you know.
Gives me the Islanders score and then the Rangers score. I'm just like, I just got to know.
The next five games for the Rangers before the Four Nations break looks like this: at Boston on Saturday, then back home against Vegas on a back-to-back, then home against Boston, home against Pittsburgh, at Columbus, and then they don't play until the 22nd.
A lot of those are 4-point games, Stan. You got to beat Columbus.
4-point games. Yeah, you got to beat. I mean, we did. At the Garden.
There you go.
Shootout, but still, points are points.
Isles.
Yeah, we gotta beat them at home. And that's always been a place where we do not do well.
It's weird. I don't know how you guys are so, like, 500. You have the exact same record both on the road and at home. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I gotta get my charger, but,
Well, I'm going to
talk about Sir, Mr. Captain America, Austin Matthews.
Oh, we will. I mean, you got the Four Nations tournament coming up. Captains were announced for Team USA. They also were announced for Team Canada. Canada's up top of my head right now because I was announced about like 10 minutes ago. So I'll go through that first. McDavid and McCarr, two alternate captains. To anyone's surprise, Sidney Crosby.
That's the right call.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby, the captain of Team Canada. Shocker. I mean, I don't care who you are. He is every player in the NHL's favorite player. I don't care who you are, what you think. That's what he is. And then to the USA side of things, Mr. America, Austin Matthews, named captain of Team USA Four Nations team. I don't know if it's the right pick, but I don't hate it. You know,
I don't hate it either. I love it.
He's the face of American hockey right now. You got the two alternate captains, McAvoy and Matthew Tkachuk.
Shocked Eichel didn't get anything.
Love the Eich show. I thought maybe an A. He's been having a hell of a year, too.
I honestly thought he'd at least get an A.
I think he might win MVP of the tournament if they win. I think that's where my mind goes to, is because I love Jack Eichel.
I just hope that this Four Nations, because it's a great idea. Do not get me wrong.
Expand it. Probably, just expand it a little bit.
Not expand it. I just hope it doesn't get like the hate that like the World Baseball Classic gets.
I don't think it will. And I think
it's in season, technically.
Yeah, and it's replacing the All-Star game. And you gotta think
and
about
then
it, too.
You get the Olympics next year, too.
And you gotta think about this, too. Is like, as much as these guys are teammates, like, when you put on your nation's jersey in hockey, you hate the other, like, USA hates Canada. Marchand came out and said it. He's like, I don't really care who I'm playing. Like, I'm going to hit them. I'm going to, like, we're going to, like, that's the
like
nature of the game.
It's like Kobe with Pau Gasol in the Olympics. Like, it's really, like, but I said this to Tim before. The Mike Francesa call. Some guy called and he's like, I guess like Noah Syndergaard elected not to play in the World Baseball Classic. And he was, the caller goes like, oh, like I'm shocked that Noah Syndergaard didn't want to play for the USA. And Francesa's like, what are you talking about? The WBC? And he's like, yeah. And Francesa goes, I wouldn't watch that even if it was in my backyard.
It's fun to watch if you're just like, if you're a fan of your team, like Edwin Diaz, I mean, that was but like
that was absurd.
Like the shit like that happens that makes you upset. But if you're just watching it just to be a fan of like USA, it's like, holy shit, like these guys really
literally.
Yeah.
I literally said that Trey Turner was gonna be the MVP of the league after watching him in the World Baseball Classic, and he had one of the most horrible years I think I've ever seen.
And they came out and even said it too.
It took him until a standing ovation.
Yeah,
and
a fucking Netflix documentary, which is bullshit. Bullshit. I can't believe that's even a thing. That made me so mad when I saw it, but besides the point.
Like, they're really glorifying these scumbag Philly fans.
A standing
fans. Like,
ovation for
off.
A guy who, what, even finished your bat in, like, 270? I mean, he's not even, like, you've had 300. Like, just, like, this guy didn't, like, turn around a franchise. They still lost the Mets. Like, I don't understand this hype, but let bygones be bygones. The players even came out and said this is, like, their World Series. A lot of these guys, I mean, think of Mike Trout. They're not really going to get a shot at a World Series. So.
And that was, like, back then, too. It was, like, that was, like, the first time we saw Shohei Ohtani in, like, a playoff
level. It's like, holy shit, like, some of these guys you never thought would even have a shot.
And then, like, the main thing was, like, oh, my God, imagine, like, building a team around Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah. Speaking of baseball, let's just talk about it. Hal Steinbrenner's crying poor. That was shocking. He had an interview on Hot Stove with Meredith Marakovitz, and it was very I don't even know how to describe it, because it was just owner speak, really. It was just like, yeah, like, I have so much money, but I'm not going to spend it. Why would I do that? Basically, this is from the John Boy tweet. He mentioned that they're still going to bring kids up for the minors twice without being asked. Not really sure who. And then when he was asked, he mentioned Oswaldo Cabrera, maybe Oswald Peraza. And then his direct quote was, there's a lot more coming. There's some good talent in AAA. On the bullpen, the bullpen answer was pretty interesting, just because he said that we're not done yet. And then rattled off the back end names and opened with Ian Hamilton. So that's interesting.
You're in a good spot there.
Jason Dominguez is our starting left fielder.
I don't love that.
He said Judge is going to be playing more in right field because Bellinger is going to be in center. And Hal's quote was, I'm not sure he's happy about that.
Sure he wouldn't be. I got to run to the bathroom real quick. I'm going to piss my pants.
Okay. Just go for it. And then he called out the sloppy play and bad defense in the World Series. And now Hal Steinbrenner says he has a chip on his shoulder because he knows that they're way better than they showed in the World Series. And they're going to be better defensively this time around. And I'll be honest, they're somewhat better defensively. You know, Jazz Chisholm, Gold Glover, Paul Goldschmidt, Gold Glover, Cody Bellinger, Gold Glover. But then the major issue I had with this was that there was a rumor out there, Hubs of Barstool Sports, a diehard Yankee fan, for those who don't know. He said, from his understanding, according to his source, DJ LeMahieu was going to get DFA'd when Jason Dominguez was coming up, and the veterans did not want him getting discarded like that. Tim, did you hear what I just said?
No, what'd you say?
Apparently, this is according to Hubs of Barstool Sports, diehard Yankee fan, great guy. When we called up Jason Dominguez, we were going to DFA DJ LeMahieu. And then Aaron Judge rallied the troops and basically said that the veterans did not want to see him go like that. And now we're going into the year with a possibility of DJ LeMahieu being our starting third baseman.
I can't
do this, man. I'm sorry.
I don't want to be that guy, and I
cannot root for a fucking team that has their star player calling the shots when you've had the same general manager for the past 30 fucking years. I can't.
Yeah, and I can't. I think I don't want to be mean or rude to Yankee fans or anything, and I'm not trying to be like a jerk, but I really think it's a time that you take a look in the mirror and realize what you actually have on paper as a lineup. I would say, because your rotation is solid.
Hang on.
Jesus Christ, dude.
You do mention this? Hang on. I literally just got a notification from Bleacher Report. An anonymous executive said to ESPN that missing out on Juan Soto could be a blessing in the end.
Doesn't make sense.
Picking up Fried, Goldschmidt.
Doesn't make sense.
There's a lot of ifs. I mentioned this before. I love the Devin Williams pickup. I think the Devin Williams pickup was great.
I think you did great for the rotation. I just don't like, Bellinger and Goldschmidt. I don't like relying on that.
Here's the thing, and it's almost like when we got Donald. It's almost like in hockey, how I mentioned before. You get these former MVPs, and you're like, if they're like half of what they once were, that's good. Paul Goldschmidt had a great final month of the year. If he's able to build off of that,
that's great.
Hey, but that's great. I'll take it.
Here's my thing, Stan: is you lose one MVP Hall of Famer and replacing him, who's a current MVP, and then replacing him with two former is like, does that really add up? And that's the question you got to really ask.
Soto did not win an MVP, though.
I'm saying MVP caliber player, first ballot Hall of Famer, whatever you want to call him.
Okay, we can agree that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but has not won an MVP.
Okay,
yet.
So let's all right. Let's,
or actually, no, wait, he did. If I'm not mistaken, or has he won?
I don't
an MVP?
Think he won one, but I'm saying an MVP caliber player.
This sport's so stupid.
And then replace him with
800 million.
It's like I don't know.
It's
like trading Mikko Rantanen for Patrick Kane and. you know what I mean? Like, it's like, all right, like, is this really going to
work? Never won an MVP, Juan Soto. Never won an MVP.
He's only 26.
Could be this year.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Might be Lindor.
Mets side of things, Pete Alonso at FanFest. Or what do they call it? Amazing Fest or whatever?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that?
I'm hearing good things, Stan. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. I think he's sort of making that known. I think the more you think about the Blue Jays, the more you're like, is this really a good fit?
Because here's the thing. If he goes to the Blue Jays...
And they blow it up, it's like, what's the plan?
but it's something, it's almost like what the Cubs did. I can almost see what they're doing, what the Cubs did last year, where they're like, okay, we're going to sell off some guys, but we're going to go, I mean, I know they traded Isak Paredes, but it ended up, in the long run, it ended up helping them get Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
So, in the long run, like, they could sell some guys off, but at the same time be like, okay, we're going to buy and have pieces for the future. That way, our rebuild isn't going to be as long as
right,
people think.
But you're at a...
So, maybe, like, Pete Alonso's a guy they want to build around, and then they trade Vladimir Guerrero and get... like, that's...
But here's the thing. You trade Vlad, great. Bo Bichette clearly isn't re-signing. He's pretty much being Kuba close to him saying he wants out. So you get him out of there. I mean, Kevin Biggio didn't work out. And now it's like, really, what do we have? And then you look on paper, it's like, this isn't
Springer.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Varsho.
This isn't great, right? And then you look at the division, it's like Boston got better. Baltimore got better. I mean, like, they're getting better consecutively because they're young guys.
Boston got better. Baltimore kind of...
They're still better. And the Yankees are better. So it's like, you're sitting in that four spot. You're competing with the Rays now as a team. It's like, oh, like...
And Tampa just got Ha-Sung Kim.
So it's like, really, what's the move do we make? I know you want to make a splash, and it makes sense, right? It's a big name guy to get. But it's just, for me, if I'm a Blue Jays fan right now, like, if you get Pete Alonso, then you're fingers crossed hoping this works out so perfectly that in the middle of the year, they're like, we're not going to blow this up. Because I don't think Vladdy wants to stay if they blow it up. And if Bo wants out, it's like, what do we put it short?
So. Yeah, like, what now? All right. Nice little short little baseball talk there. Moving on to what I saw. Tim, I know you've been sitting on this one.
Jeez.
Oh, my God, Tim.
What did I forget?
The owner of the fucking Islanders.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think. I forgot about that. Fucking Well, Ledecky knows my dad's name. It's kind of funny. So,
wait, so describe, because you sent me, I saw your Snapchat story and it was all like...
Buddy, I'm on the stairs, right? Me and my brother are going to get a beer. The period's about to start. So we're like, all right, whatever, we'll just come back. We're on the stairs. We're waiting on, like, you know, you got to wait, whistle, hockey, when the whistle's on, you got to wait. You can't walk during the game. You got to wait for a whistle and then you can go to your seat. So I'm standing on the stairs, right?
I didn't know that, but okay.
In a hockey game, you can't go to your seat while game's in action. So if the game's in action, you got to stand. And then once there's a whistle, you can go to your seat and sit down. So I'm standing on the stairs, right? Game's in action. And this guy next to me is like, reaches out to shake hand. I'm like, oh, shaking my hand. Whenever I look at Matt, my brother, and I'm like, whatever. And he goes, oh my God, that's like, that's John Ledecky. And I was like, what?
So I turned the owner of the New York Islanders.
So I turned my head and I was like, holy shit, that is John Ledecky, like right to his face. And he grabs my shoulder. He was clearly drunk, which was funny in part two. Grabs my shoulder. He's like, you want to go sit in the front row, kid? I was like, yes, I do, Mr. Ledecky. Like, of course I do. So I was like, that's my brother. He's coming with me.
21-year-old kid.
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, that's my brother. He's coming with me. So he's like, all right, whatever. He starts funneling us to the front row. So now it's me, my brother, this random dude, and his son or daughter? I don't know. It was a young kid. And I don't get the system.
You just like text your dad, like
my dad texts me.
Ryan Lott, where the fuck are you?
It's Islanders, right? This was before the 5-game winning streak, so this was actually they were on a huge lull. The tickets were so cheap, so we're sitting in the lower bowl. I mean, we had tickets in the 100s for like $30. So I'm like, all right, cool. So my dad sees us walking down the stairs with a security guard, and he goes, "I need to hear this story." Like, text me. So I'm like, oh, I'm dying laughing at this point. I get to the seat. I never sit in the front row. Like, I never. Like, it's probably the first time I've ever been on the glass. Other than, like, at even take me back to Coliseum. So, Nassau, funny enough, in Nassau Coliseum, there was no one ever at games. They would let you literally stand in the glass for warm-ups. Like, you could walk through the player tunnel. Like, where they would...
Shit.
It's funny as hell. Where they would go through, and then I could stand, like, right there, just banging the glass.
Will they ever go back there just for nostalgia?
No, I don't think so. They're redoing the place, maybe. I hope. I mean, it's so much nicer. I mean, it's not nicer, but it's just so much better, like the parking lot and everything. Yeah. But regardless, I get to the front row, and now I'm sitting there. I'm like, holy shit, I'm in the front row. I've had a few beers. I'm banging on the glass every time the puck comes in. I'm like, I'm going nuts. The guy next to me and my brother's like, hey, like, making like a joke, but seriously, like, don't get us kicked out with like a nervous chuckle. And I was like, buddy, I don't sit in the front row very often. Puck comes behind the boards. I'm just like, bang, bang, bang. Like screaming out. There's two kids next to me already sitting down there. They're doing the same thing. And it was awesome. Like, they won. They beat the Sharks.
Me when I went to the fucking Ranger game was so funny because I was sitting next to a family and I was already drunk enough. And I'm like, what the fuck?
It's a hockey game.
This is fucking bullshit.
It's a hockey game. What do you expect? I mean, like, if you're taking...
No, what the fuck?
The guy next to me is screaming at this dude. I think his son spilled a little water on him, like across the aisle somehow. And the guy's, like, screaming at him. He's like, what do you want me to do? Get a fucking paper towel. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, his kid's an answer. He's like, I can't fucking clean that. What do you want me to do? I'm taking your pants off. He's like, go get a fucking paper towel. And then he's, like, turned away.
God. Like, I was sitting next to like two Irish guys. Like I had the it was Nick Crocker to my left and the family, and then these like two Irish guys to my right. And I was like, I will be associated. I was like, I feel bad. I said to him, like, I feel bad, like cursing. He's like, ah, fuck him. They'll learn eventually now. Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're at a hockey game. What do you expect, dude? I mean, they're cursing the ice. I'm cursing the
like, cursing
the
second team they root for.
Exactly.
But, my one I saw, I have two. The Duke game, did you see this? What happened at the Duke NC State game? A lot of shit went down, and I think there's a ghost haunting Cameron Indoor Stadium.
What happened?
Well, first of all, unrelated to my ghost theory, you know Corey Alexander? He calls some of the games on, calls some NBA games on ESPN now.
Yeah, I do know that.
I speak for every college basketball fan out there. Corey Alexander is the worst. He does not have an off button, and they teach you in broadcasting,
hit
like,
the off
let
button.
let it sit. Like, let the moment sit. Let it sit. There, so you know the nonstop Cooper Flag coverage, which I'm more than
why would
okay
you hate?
Well, why would I hate? He was wearing Kobe's. Huh. He was wearing Kobe's,
there
you- and he was tying his shoe. And Corey Alexander said, "For those who don't know, rest in peace to the late great Kobe Bryant. This man was fucking breaking the news of a man's death 5 years after
like,
the fact. That's
crash.
One.
Yeah, I know. And they were like, all right, and then they go right back to talking to the game.
Yeah. It was just so weird.
No reason to bring that up.
He always keeps on saying, my guy. So, like, whatever he, like, I seriously, like, if Corey Alexander, the next time Corey Alexander calls a Duke game, I'm playing a drinking game. Every time he says, my guy, do a shot. Every time he calls Dave O'Brien Obi, I'm going to fucking shotgun a beer. Like, that's.
It's like every time.
Let me tell you about my guy. Like, oh god!
It's every time. What's
talking
his face? Butch and Cross is like, holy shnikes! I hate Butch and Cross, but yeah.
I like Butch and Cross. I think
I can't stand him sometimes. He just like never knows when to shut up.
And then this was actually like a close game. Like it was way very uncomfortable. During the game because it was just like
shouldn't
NC
be this
State
close. Yeah,
yeah, should not be this close. Cooper Flagg drives in, gets fouled. I'm like, all right. Kaman Maluach projectile vomits all over the floor.
Oof.
Even worse, ESPN shows a slow motion replay
of him throwing up.
Ew. It took him 5 minutes to fucking clean it. Even like they purposely took the media timeout. Usually there was like 4 minutes and 15 seconds left. Usually when they go under 4 minutes, they take the media timeout, the next whistle. It was just like, it was just going to take forever. So they were just like, all right, let's just go to the media. And even when they got that, the media timeout's usually a 2 minute and 30 second break. This is from working in production, obviously. I don't really know this out of, I don't sit there on my couch and press a stopwatch and fucking time the commercials, but you get what I mean. They were still cleaning it when they got back from commercial.
Oof.
Game comes back on. Nice, like, minute in. Stoppage of play. Security like runs onto the court and starts rushing towards the Cameron Crazies. And we're like, what the fuck? Like, what's happening?
Is there a fight?
A student passed out.
Jesus Christ.
It gets worse. It gets worse. Usually when something like this happens, they pan to, you know, the benches.
They pan the kid.
They showed security carrying her fucking lifeless body.
Jesus Christ.
And not well, by the way. Like, I know, like, because a lot of shit was going on with Maluach. So it was like, all right, like, I guess there weren't enough, like, medical personnel there. But the way that the security guard was carrying, that's not the way you should carry a person like that.
Just grab him and go.
Literally, that's what they did. And then this is the funniest part. The Blue Devil mascot, as they're carrying her out, went to midcourt and just took a knee.
Oh my gosh.
Just took a knee like this. And I'm doing it. I texted Jack, like, after Maluach threw up, I texted Jack Scanlon. I was like, dude, turn on this fucking game. This is fucking insane. And then I was watching the game on mute. I texted, they go to the stands. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then they show her getting carried out.
Jeez Louise.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Jeez Louise.
And then at that point, I was like, whichever ghost is haunt, like the ghost, I'm going to blame Dean Smith. I'm going to say the ghost of Dean Smith, former North Carolina head coach, probably the greatest UNC head coach ever. the ghost of Dean Smith was haunting Cameron Indoor. And he, thank God he did not lay a finger on Cooper Flagg. That's all I'm going to say. But then John was saying that this was all like a conditioning issue with Malawach. And this is like, I'm sorry.
It's deep in the season, dude. Yeah.
Conditioning's been in it. Like, even in the beginning of the year, Cooper Flagg was getting cramps. Even 2 years ago, Paolo Banchero was getting cramps at the beginning of the year. Why is this an issue? Find new fucking conditioning guys. Or what the fuck?
Fix the arena. Make it colder.
I've been there. It's a cold arena. It's pretty cold.
Make it like an ice rink.
It's pretty damn cold. It's pretty damn cold. So, I mean, I can't even fathom. I don't know. And I know, like, Duke's, like, medical people are, like, fucking geniuses. So, like, and they're, like, sports medicine
Clearly
people
not.
Are fucking fucking geniuses. So, like, they know how to fix it. But, like, my God.
Fix it.
The conditioning coach, they may need to find new conditioning coaches. Because, my God. That was absurd. If this shit happens on Saturday, I'm not having it. I'm going to call for heads.
Call in.
I'm going to call for heads. Duke UNC on Saturday. Get excited. Like, this is, like, the one. Like, I usually get excited for Duke UNC, but it's just like UNC is just like so. I don't know. I don't
want the water, Stan. That's what you want.
I don't want to get ahead of myself because, you know, like North Carolina, there was a year where North Carolina won like eight fucking games.
Just get ready for the game. Don't say anything yet.
I want blood. I want blood, though. I have a very bad taste in my mouth after that sweep last year where those were two games that we easily could have won. But I want blood. I want it. My next one I saw was the MLB The Show cover. Seems like the NCAA football model is being copied everywhere. The three cover athletes will be Paul Skeens, Ellie De La Cruz, and Gunnar Henderson.
Expect bad things from them next year.
Yeah, that's Skeens not so much. The big reveal from this was Road to the Show. You can play in high school and college.
Whoa, okay.
And like actual colleges, because you see the LSU. So it's like, I don't know how to describe it because, you know, Ellie got drafted, or wasn't even drafted. He was internationally signed. And then Gunnar, I believe, was drafted out of high school. Paul Skeens was the only one that went to college. It was like LSU logo, Pirates AA logo, then the Pirates. And then for Ellie, it was AA Reds, AAA Reds, then a Reds logo, and then the same thing with Gunnar.
Yeah.
And then someone made a joke. It was funny. Could I play at Gunnar Henderson's high? Why can't I play at Gunnar Henderson's high school? And for those who don't know, Gunnar Henderson's high school banned segregation in like 2015.
What?
I'm being dead serious.
Jesus.
Or like it was something.
That's ridiculous.
Gunnar Henderson High School. John T. Morgan Academy. It was founded as a segregation academy, and they did not. 2008. I'm sorry.
Still ridiculous.
After 41 years, the school admitted its first black student in 2008.
That's absurd.
Yeah, dude.
That's absurd.
So that was a big joke out there. So yeah, it was a very eventful 2 weeks. I'd say. Sorry, we did not get an episode out during the divisional. Tim was dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much. Dying.
Coming out of both ends, if anyone was wondering.
Yeah,
but there you
go. I understand, man. And I don't want to get too far into that either. But anyway,
I wouldn't want to either, Stan.
I don't want to touch that subject. Never mind. Never meet your heroes. That's my advice. Don't meet your heroes.
Stomach bug's your hero, yeah.
Yeah, the stomach bug. I mean, I was talking about
a
specific closing pitcher that wears the number 42.
Let's leave it.
I am. All right. Oh, TikTok's back.
It was never going away.
Yeah, I know.
But there you go. It's back.
It's back. So we don't have to worry. So I put out that clip for no reason, but whatever.
We're back.
It means more clips. So then, anyway, we'll see you next week. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Keep on saying X. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube, like our videos on YouTube, leave a comment on our videos. Look out for shorts either. Like our shorts. I feel like our shorts are basically the same as TikTok.
I like them.
Go for it. Go for it. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
Five stars?
5 stars only. We will see you guys next week. Super Bowl predictions.
Let's go.
Game predictions. Prop predictions.
Huge player prop predictions.
In-game prop player prop predictions.
First half predictions. Prop predictions. Court predictions. We're giving it
Other
all, baby.
National anthem. Gatorade color. Coin toss.
We're giving it all.
What the MVP is going to think. This is what we live for. And then,
after the Super Bowl, we're on the fast track to March Madness, baby.
Yeah.
We are on the and fast track to March Madness.
You know what we got right after the Super Bowl, Stan?
What do we have?
Four Nations action, baby.
I always say this, especially like after football and then like when like March Madness rolls around. Like daylight savings always reminds me of March Madness rolling around, baseball starting,
NHL playoffs,
the Masters.
Yeah, baby.
Ah, I cannot wait for the Masters. I saw the first Masters commercial of the year, and I was
like nine, dude.
I was so stressed from my bets like that
already.
I think it was like
Rory
like
hit a hole in one today, no?
The LA Texas game, and I just really the Masters, April, whatever. I just remember going, thank God.
Shout out Rory, hole in one today, and hole 15.
Some stability. Oh, good for him.